Mr. President, as Mr. Costello comes forward, I wanted to let the members of council know that we've asked Mr. Costello to present an update on a number of projects that he has been working on since he started with the county. As you know, we hired Mr. Costello about 6 months ago and replacing the outgoing constable. And I can say from my perspective, he's done an outstanding job. He literally hit the ground running and has made great improvements within the office, and we've seen great results working with our constituents. And I know a number of you have dealt with him directly and feel the same. So today will be an update on an array of projects, and then we will hone in on one specific project that you all are aware of that we have very good news to share today. Thanks, Mike.
Good morning, Mr. President and Council. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I'm just completing my first 6 months with the county, and thus far, what I've spent my time doing is learning about the code, more importantly, the violations that the code points out, and the enforcement elements that are part of the code. Also, learning the county's take on enforcement, what's appropriate, where we should give more encouragement than enforcement-type action, and we're doing pretty well in those areas. One of the other things we spent a lot of time on is developing a mission for the office and getting staff on board. So thus far in the first 6 months, I want to just bring you up to date on where we've been. We have handled 290 calls for service, 6 court actions requiring 4 hearings. Now, this doesn't include some of the things that we've turned over to planning and zoning or building code or to assessment, but just the calls that the Office of the Constable has taken care of. In addition, since July, we've revised all of our outgoing communications that we send to property owners for the notices of violations. The revisions have been reviewed by legal, who've made suggestions what we have incorporated into those notices and keep in line with the county code requirements. We're also working with the building code right now in developing processes that are likely to impact both of our offices, such as the housing code provisions. The activities that we've done include 17 properties that we've serviced, which include like high grass, accumulated waste, and debris. We have spent over $3,200 servicing these non-complying properties, again, mostly tall grass on foreclosed and abandoned type homes. All the contractors that we were used, we formed new relationships with, and we're happy to say that all of these contractors that we use really good about emails, sending us photographs of the job after it's done, sending us the invoices electronically. It really helps out with tracking the activity that we're doing, and it helps out with sending the invoices for billing. It also included one mobile home demolition and a pesticide application where the residents of the home weren't eligible for any other services from any other organization. The demolition of the mobile home, I just decided to just on chance to do an environmental survey of it, which cost a couple $100 extra, but it turned out that it saved us a lot of headaches because the mobile home contained asbestos, which slowed the project down, and I have just learned that I need to slow things down a little bit, and it was taken care of in good order. We also had to develop a relationship and an agreement with the owner of the property, who was not the owner of the mobile home. So had we not got involved, the property owner would have encumbered the entire bill, and it would probably still be sitting where it is right now.
Mr. Costello, may I ask a very
yes.
quick question? Is that
certainly
possible?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
On those that we are demolishing, on that one right there,
okay.
In the end, do we place a lien on that property? I mean, do we get reimbursed? What is the process for that, if you would?
I will explain a little bit more about that. We've developed a new process during this last 6 months that I think will explain your. But in this demolition, mm-hmm. because the owner of the property was not the owner of the land, we were not able to put a lien on the property. However, we did a cost sharing. The property owner actually paid more of the demolition bill than the county paid. And on top of that, they took on the entire burden of the cost for the asbestos remediation.
Well, we need to make it clear here, I think. That asbestos is not against the law until we get to remove it. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, in other words, we go around and see a lot of houses that have asbestos on them. We don't want to automatically say, well, they're against the law. We want to make that clear. So it doesn't quite clear it there as I see it.
Okay. In regards to asbestos, if you're doing a demolition to a structure that has asbestos-containing material, which is known as ACM, you are required to have it remediated first.
So why was it condemned? What, because it's an old building, or what? What's the reason?
The mobile home was the roof had fallen through, and the entire inside was mold-ridden.
Had what, mold?
Mold, yes.
Well, not because of mold do we condemn either. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I just want, because a lot of people has mold, and I don't want to go out here and take automatically and say, oh, wow, the county's going against people has mold and has asbestos on their house. So we want to make that clear that they don't have that
problem. Let me take one step back and say that the owner of the mobile home was the one that reached out to the county for assistance in actually doing the demolition. So this was...
That means a lot to me.
Yes, and, I'm sorry.
And I think most of us here.
Thank you.
Mike, I do have a question. It's triggered something. The park, it's a park?
It is a park.
Okay, park. When somebody operates a mobile home park, they're running a business, basically.
That's correct.
Providing, you know, whatever. Why didn't we just put the burden? I mean, my first inclination is the burden should be on the property owner. It's a business relationship, contractual relationship he's had with that owner of that unit, and I see no really financial responsibility of the county getting involved. We ought to be recouping it all from the property. We always need to go back to the property owner, and I don't see a difference in parks versus, say, if I owned the land and I owned the house too. So anyway, that's just, I don't know how we're working that out, but Everett, I got some concerns that we're absorbing some of the cost in parks where they have rules and regulations, and if they allowed a unit to get that bad, they ought to clean it up.
Yes, sir.
It's their responsibility. So it's just I'm not expecting an answer, but I'm just saying I've got concern about the county, whether we pick up part of the tab, any of the tab. I don't think we should pick up a dime.
Right.
I think the park owner should. So anyway, just a thought.
And I believe there's a law somewhere that after 1 year of desert that building, it goes back to the park owner. I believe that. I think that's the way I understand the law. So evidently this guy's been out more than a year. So automatically goes back to the owner, land owner, and him.
I'd be happy to talk to you more about that. In this particular instance, all of that was put into the formulation. But what else was put into the formulation were the neighbors and how long they've had to deal with this. And at some point, somebody had to do something. The property owner was in long-term civil litigation with the owner of this piece of property, and because she had no resources to correct it, he wanted to litigate everything through the court. But even when the court found in the fault of the mobile home owner, she still had no resources to make it to correct the problem. So,
right. I understand all the details, and I know there's no value. See, the park owner doesn't want it. There's no value to that unit, and it's a cost to him. But he's been receiving income from that site where that unit was sitting for God knows how many years. So, I mean, he's probably, you know, if he looked at it as an investment, he's probably still ahead.
Yes.
And so, my concern is on those types of situations that we ought to be very careful on picking up the call. We might set a precedent in the future. So when one park owner says, hey, you did it over here, how about doing it for me?
Right. And I'm still learning. And, again, this is one of those things where I'm trying to learn.
No, it's just something that's triggered in my mind here that could be a problem in the future. So
yes, sir.
Okay. That's all right.
And also some of these, to get back to a process that we were talking about earlier, we were able to develop a process pursuant to the provisions in Chapter 80 and Chapter 115 of the County Code where it allows us to bill for the services that we put out. We have not been doing that up until recently. And not only that is, but when those bills go unpaid, the provisions of the code allow us to put a lien on the property. We had never been doing that before. So we implemented a billing process, and we implemented the lien process. And those were huge hurdles for us. Now, we're only talking about 17 properties that we've serviced so far, but that was in a short amount of time. So
just to President, may I ask
you? Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. It's your meeting.
No. Our meeting.
But just to make sure I fully understood you right there, of these 17, in the past, prior to your arrival, we have not been billing. When we as a county go in and take care of a situation, we have not been billing?
To the best of my knowledge. Somebody may have better information on that, but to the best of my knowledge, we just pay it and we move on.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And I can also direct Mr. Keeler, who's the director of assessment, in the audience. We did not have a process or a procedure in place, and it was ad hoc at best. Because, as you will relate, one of the themes in Mr. Costello's presentation is just how difficult it is to get reimbursed for this activity. We can certainly clean the property up and have that done, and sometimes it only costs a few hundred dollars, and then assess a lien on the property and seek to get that at a future date. But receiving the money in quick order is very difficult. So as a result of that, no, we did not have a history of being able to recover the expenses.
And there is a legal cost associated with placing a lien. So if we've cleaned it up and there's X amount of dollars out there, it may not make any sense to have the attorneys get involved because, you know, then we're losing money again. So it's a judgment call, and I can understand why maybe past, you know, constables didn't pursue certain things. But some of these, we got so much out in the county that, you know, you've got a long way to go.
You know what
I
mean?
So yeah, I think we need the procedures, and Rob, we find this all the time that we go back and something pops up and we don't have a clear procedure, and you would think in this part of the, you know, in where we are today in, you know, 2015, a lot of this would be taken care of. But
and one other, if I may, and on these 17 properties, shall I assume that they are all in unincorporated
Yes.
areas within the county?
That's correct.
And are they all in non-HOA communities?
No.
They are not?
They are not. One of the things that we find many times when our phone rings, it's members of a community that have an HOA that have a violation that is of less stringent than what the county requires, and they want us to help enforce their HOA requirements, and we just simply can't do that.
I will tell you, yeah, I mean, if there's a body intact, i.e. an HOA, it is truly their responsibility to do this, truly.
Yes, sir.
It should be their nickel. It should be their liability. It's their exposure. It's their HOA documents. It's their community, correct?
That's correct.
So, okay. All right. Thank you for that.
But you got to be careful with this. Like George was saying, it comes back to opinions in a lot of ways. And say you're outside of town, out of town limits, we had no control there, so then how big a land can it be? Can it be 20 acres, 50 acres? How far would you go back? You go back to farms and say, well, farmer, we don't think you got your barn up to standards here. We should have painted it last year, or the boards are falling off or something other. I mean, you got to be kind of careful here. This is a farm community, and we got to be kind of careful what we're tearing down and what we can fix up. So, and I think sometimes, maybe instead of the bureaucrats running this thing all the time, it should be brought more to our attention here as a council that really represents the people who is elected by our attention, that we need to know more what really is going on here. And I certainly would not probably meet some of these codes that maybe even presented here, as my buildings would be up to par. According to some people's opinion, it goes by and sees, well, Sam has got an old junk combine back there and a tractor sitting over here, and some of these things don't look just up to par. So I have trouble with that sometimes. We want to be kind of careful how we're judging and how the people's opinions come and says, oh, Mr. Constable, can you do this or do something about that? So we don't want to jump. I don't think we want to be like a jackrabbit, jump on everything that comes either. So that's kind of my opinion here on this too.
But I would guess, Mike, that it's probably not the agricultural community that's getting most of the attention.
I'm
thinking
so.
It's mostly residential homes, Sam. So I don't think the problem has been with the ag community. But
I agree.
But there could be.
I live in an agriculture area. A lot of farmers in my area. George lives in Bethany Beach. I can understand the difference. I can understand there's $300,000, $500,000. Some of these lots cost $1 million. You can buy a lot in our place for $50,000 or less. So we're talking about different areas here. So that's all play. To me, it takes a play. It takes a part in this play.
It does. May I say that we are never in a hurry to jump on anything. We evaluate it for what it is, and we rely on what the code actually says about it. Digging into definition, digging into land usage, digging into all those things. And if I don't know the answer, I have counterparts in other departments that will be happy to answer those questions for me. We're not in a hurry to do anything when it comes to those things.
And Mike, one more last thing. It is safe to say that you are complaint-driven?
That's correct.
Okay. Absolutely. I've said the same words. That's exactly what we should be.
Yes, sir. And that has been relayed to staff over and over.
This is going to be a good year. Sam's been agreeing with me. I am optimistic, folks.
George, I always agree with you when you're right.
I am.
to finish this slide out, you know, so we put these liens on a property in hopes that at some point that property will convey and the county will recoup their costs. The lien is not an expensive process. It's just a matter of paperwork, and the county code also has a provision for the administrative fee, which covers the cost of the lien.
Okay, good.
Also, the beginning of this year, we have gone to a new reporting program. It's a similar program that the other departments in the county are using. It's very difficult to go from paper and pen to everybody using computers now. It has been quite the process for us. This is going to be one of the first steps for our staff to be more mobile. What I mean by more mobile is while they're in the field, they don't have to come back to the office to get their complaint and go out to the next one. They'll be able to, at some point in the future, I envision that they'll have tablets or a laptop computer similar to your assessors and your inspectors that'll be able to get their assignments right in the truck and move from one complaint to another, being more efficient. Mm-hmm. And the strong point about using this system is every property in the county is already tied into it. So it takes the footwork out of a lot of the things that I have to do for staff before assigning these complaints. It also helps me stay in tune with what is actually going on at any time. Normally right now, I won't know about a complaint until we begin having problems with compliance efforts or something needs to go to court. So some of the typical violations that we might see, the one on the left was the complaint. And this is, I don't want to say it's typical, but to me it was bothersome that we've been to this property 3 years in a row and we've had to service it and go on and go forth.
And cutting the grass for the guy.
Cutting the grass, yeah. Now the owner of the property is deceased and none of the heirs to the property can be found. There's nothing in the register of wills. There's nothing in the recorder of deeds. It's still owned by the person who's now deceased. So it's an abandoned property for all means. So we've gone out and we've inspected this, and there trash, the tall grass, uncovered septic systems. So there's a myriad of complaints that we get out there and we find that we need to do something with it. So we hook up with a local contractor, we get an estimate for it. If it's over the dollar amount required for a purchase order, we secure that, execute the work, and send it off for payment. And now we'll put a lien on the property, and at some point in time we may be able to get that back. So this is what the property looked like from the front view after the work was done. This is another one. It was a bank foreclosure, so it's been sitting in an HOA area looking like this with literally 1.8 tons of trash sitting on the back deck. So these are some of the typical complaints that the constable's office handles from time to time, and trying to get blood from a stone, so to speak. We may be able to make contact with the people who are registered as a property owner, but due to bankruptcies or foreclosure processes or many other things, we just can't get them to do it. So we rely on the services of a contractor.
Are the banks responsive, or do they ignore?
Only if the bank is listed on the deed as the owner of the property.
Okay, but they are responsive if you contact them to say, look, this is your property. You've got grass. Can you address it? They will, usually?
Some, from time to time. It depends on, and I can understand that the bank's dilemma. I mean, they have foreclosed properties everywhere, and it's, you know, a rather profit-sucking business to be in, is just to maintain the property.
But we can then put a lien against the bank.
Well,
we know they have money.
We do.
But just to reiterate, Mr. Costello, this bank you said is a foreclosure, or this property, excuse me, is a foreclosure property, meaning it's been through that sheriff's sales process.
It's in the process. Yeah, you can't really see it in this picture, but there's a notice on the door, and it's probably been there for 6 or 7 months. And gotcha. They're just, you know, they're at the point right now where they're just not going to do anything, no responsibility for the property.
So if it's if it is indeed in an HOA, i.e. community, it's the HOA's responsibility. Is the HOA the ones that reached over to us?
No, not in this case.
Okay.
If the grass was 6 inches tall and the HOA's rule was saying you can't have grass 6 inches tall, the HOA would enforce it. But in this case, the grass is 12 inches or higher, so then we become involved. Those are an HOA may have similar line items as the county has for, but they may be more stringent.
So my question is, because this is in an HOA, why did the HOA not step up and take care of this property?
I can't answer that, sir.
They'd like us to spend our money.
Everybody. Oh, that's the point. Money. I think it's their community, and if somebody is complaining, then they ought to be reaching over to that HOA board for the enforcement and for the cleanup.
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay.
Another typical type complaint that we have, the owner of the property is deceased, been deceased for 2 or 3 years. The neighbor's been trying to keep it up for a little bit, broke his lawnmower, and now it ends up looking like this. So we come in, and after we have exhausted every method to try to determine, number one, is it back on taxes? Number two, is there somebody listed in the Register of Wills that is heir of this property that we can try to contact and get them? And we've been having pretty good luck with that, too. And if not, we service the property, put on.
What, Mr. Costello, again, I just want to make sure I fully understand, and I really do apologize. But
like Mrs. Deaver. Mrs. Deaver did.
No.
She's not missing, dude.
But the question here is, if somebody's been deceased for 2 or 3 years, and if it's not been through a share sale, we shall, again, presume that there is no lien on this property?
I'm not concerned whether there is a lien on the property. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, mortgage lien. What I mean, why that's important for me anyways is because if indeed there is a mortgage and somebody is deceased, therefore we shall assume that somebody is not making a payment. It therefore should go through the share of sale process, i.e. the bank now owns it. It's the responsibility of the bank. And that's why I asked the question, if indeed somebody's been deceased for 2 or 3 years in this particular case, and we can find out if there's a lien on the property. It's fairly simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the tax record, it would reflect that. So that's why, because, I mean, who's going to ultimately be responsible for this is why I asked that very question. That's all. I mean, if there's no lien on it, then it's sitting there and nobody's taking care of it. That's one thing. But if somebody's deceased, there's a mortgage lien on it, goes to bankruptcy or, foreclosure, share of sale, ultimately it would be the bank's responsibility because they'll take it back. That's the only reason why I asked that question.
And I think I understand the direction that you're going with it, but as far as the constable's office is concerned, we don't want to get wrapped up into who owes what on the property. My responsibility is the condition of the property as it relates to lot maintenance and the zoning code. Mm-hmm. And I can't get wrapped up into all the rest of that. If it's in default or if it's going to the sheriff's sale, I have worked on properties where there is a simultaneous process going on between the sheriff's office and my office, and maybe some other offices too. But I need to kind of stay focused on the condition of the property, which in and of itself, in the condition on the left, is driving the property values to the left and to the right of the property down. So I need to stay focused on what's my responsibility. Here's a before and after shot. The folks just, trash day consists of open up the door and see how far you can throw it. And, it's and sometimes it's a shame to say, it's a culture that we deal with. So we offer encouragement. Let them know what the violation is. Send them the notice of violation. Say, if you don't clean it up at some point, we're going to have to do it, and then we're going to bill you. And eventually, the law says that we got to give them 30 days to clean this stuff up. Mm. Now, if you were the next door neighbor smelling this for 2 weeks and then looking at it for another 30 days during my compliance time, you'd kind of be. So we follow up on these and we offer them as much encouragement as we can. Yes,
sir. Sort of reminds me of the the road that I actually live on. In fact, a lot of country roads today, they throw the trash right out the window when they get done. They stop at McDonald's or wherever, and here goes the trash.
Yes, sir.
I'm beginning to wonder if we shouldn't, that this county should some kind of way, maybe talk about trash, or maybe we should put up a sign to remind people what trash is, and maybe a simple sign like says, only trash throws out trash.
Well, like I've had an apple out of that barrel, I'll talk to you at length about that at some
point. Maybe we should get to the point of, on a busy highway where they continue to throw trash out all the time, maybe we could give you another job. Maybe we could put up our cameras like the deer hunters and try to find out who these people are continue throwing this trash out all the time on highways.
And again, typical type complaints that you find in some of the neighborhoods. You know, and we're doing everything that the code allows us to do, and we try to get it as best we can. Now, our approach has been persistence. The picture of the farmhouse on the left-hand side is another one. We've been there for 3 years in a row. Don't know why, but where is the guy? So persistence from our part. We now, he's not deceased. He still has a driver's license someplace in Delaware, so we're knocking on doors, talking to neighbors, and we're finding where they're located. We found this guy after about the second door that we knocked on. He's like, yeah, I know it's tall. So we cut it. You know, by the next week, it was cut. The second picture is service in the middle. When we can't locate a responsible person to take care of the property, we'll service it and move on with the process that I mentioned to you earlier. And then thirdly, our actions. And when I say actions, I mean court actions. If we've asked them to do it and they haven't, if we've told them to do it and they haven't, we'll now make them by court action do it. Some of the other areas that we are moving in are the unknowns.
Unknown.
I mean, we see these scattered in and around the county, abandoned buildings in repair like this, but right now we don't have quite a provision or a way to deal with these. In the picture on the left, the only thing holding that house up is an oak tree and a holly tree out front. It's leaning tight up against it. And if it were to fall, it may hurt somebody. It's in an HOA.
Not Ocean Way Estates, is it?
It is.
I was going to ask you about that.
It's been around a long time, but we are trying to do everything we can.
That's a tough call.
Keeping in mind that the authority in this issue lies with building code. And then backed up through actions through the constable's office. So we're working very closely with them, developing notifications and how we are going to proceed with handling these types of things.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I recognize the house.
And on the right-hand side, you see a property that it remained in that condition because the current property owner felt that if he tore the building down, he would lose the setback where he is right now. The structure is about 30 feet off the road, and if he tore it down, he felt that he would have to move further back with whatever he's building. So we started a dialogue with the property owner, did some research, and determined that there's not enough structure left there that would allow you to have the old setback anyhow. So a few letters and phone calls back and forth, and now the property has been demolished. So just staying persistent.
Oh, my God.
What do we do here, you know? This is a pile of tires that's located on the west side of the county. It's probably five times the size of the pile you saw here at the old Master Tire. It's sitting on a piece of private property, and at some point in time, somebody's going to have to do something with it.
This man right here.
Okay.
No, it's in his district.
I was about to ask that very question. Where is this located?
I think we've talked that enough. Let's keep on.
Yes, sir. So to say that, we've identified some issues that are in our county that we've either never dealt with in the past or we've never had a mechanism in place to do it, and we're doing what we can to develop process to get through it. I may make mistakes. I may do some things that are a little contrary to the way things have been going in the past, but I am trying to develop improvements in the areas that I have. It's only been
burden.
6 months.
You got a burden to bear.
Yeah. So one of the other things that we've done is when I first came on board, there was a pile of tires sitting just outside of town, and it's been there for a number of years. And at the time, and still current today, nobody regulates scrap tires. You don't need a permit to haul them. You don't need a permit to store them. You don't need anything. And it was allowed to run amok, and it became a problem, and then all of a sudden the site was abandoned. And so I took it on as one of our first projects, and we had a lot of assistance through the Delaware Department of Corrections in their Sussex Community facility. They partnered with us, and they provided us with the resources to actually get this done. As you know, tire piles are just, there's no other way to do it. You got to get in there and pick them up, and you got to load them. And it's expensive to dispose of them. So I'm prepared to. I'm sorry.
In other words, prisoners came and hauled them out?
prisoners came and they loaded vehicles and they were shipped out.
Okay.
And I prepared about a 3-minute video for you to watch. It'll kind of take you from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. Recently, Sussex County was able to initiate a priority cleanup project at 20269 North DuPont Highway in Georgetown, the former site of Master Tire, a business that had since abandoned the property and set up shop at another location. While occupying the property, Master Tire generated a large pile of scrap and waste tires. Sussex County was able to negotiate an agreement with the owner of the property through his attorney. The agreement addressed the access to the site for the county and the contractors that would carry out the work. The agreement also addressed how the project would be paid for. Once signed, the contractors were called in for transportation and disposal of the tires. Resources were brought in and staged for work to begin immediately. The Delaware Department of Corrections had committed to assisting with...
That's okay. They say a picture worth a thousand words. Go ahead.
It's like the video stopped.
These efforts... and provided manpower through the work crews at the Sussex Community Corrections Center. Additional manpower was provided by the transportation and disposal company when they had smaller trucks available to help. Together, DOC and the transportation company worked at the site when their schedule and weather allowed. The loading of tires required attention and oversight so as to make certain as many tires as possible were on each load, as the cost of disposal was per load and not based on the total weight of the tires. Many lessons were learned through the organization and management of this project. As the pile was reduced, hazards were uncovered and were mitigated. A site safety and work plan had been requested for the project, and the county safety director had provided... ...one in detail. The plan was posted at the site and reviewed with DOC and the transportation company. As the last few loads were being removed from the site, the related debris associated with the previous business began to emerge. It became obvious that the pile had left a lasting footprint on the property. Workers were slowed by the need to remove as much water from the tires before loading them into the containers. This water was stagnant and created miserable conditions to work in. Once the site was cleared of the tires, all resources were removed from the property and the county secured from activities related to the project. The current condition should now allow the owner to return to proper maintenance of the site in compliance with local, county, and state requirements. In total, 17 loads, estimated to be nearly 16,000 to 18,000 tires and over 300,000 were removed. The tires were taken to a permitted facility where they were used in a tire... ...to energy process. More information on tires for energy facilities and the process can be found at the EPA's website. A special thanks goes out to the officers and staff at the Sussex Community Correction Center and Magnus Environmental.
Very nice.
Okay, so this being one of the projects that we've identified over the last 6 months to actually do something, we have some other ones that we want to work on and... We're heading in that direction. But again, projects such as this, which, you know, require actions on the county's behalf, we have got to partner with players in our community. And the Sussex County Community Corrections Facility was very, very instrumental in partnering with us. Other than that, we'd have not been able to get that done. So I want to give them all recognition by the county, if possible. And I have asked a representative from the department to come, and Lieutenant Joseph Atkins is here with us today, and I just want to thank him for that.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Mike, I appreciate what you're doing, because there is an expectation with the public, the taxpayers, the people who live here, that the county, you know, is doing something, and obviously I think we've been criticized in the past because we weren't doing much, and you got a big job ahead of you. I don't envy you. You sure you want this job? It's never ending. It just gets bigger and bigger every day. So, I know that house in Ocean Way Estates is a good example. I've seen it. I know people live in there. And they've complained about it for years. The lady is supposedly still alive somewhere, but then there's a son involved or something, and just nobody's doing anything, and in Everett, is that, I mean, how do we end up able to take some action? Because even, I mean, there's a possibility to put a lien against this property and recouping our funds.
Right. Our office has been in touch with the constable's office in this when there were some discussions with the son, looking at the condition of the mother, who is the landowner, whether or not she's competent. So we are gradually going through the steps.
Is there state legislation maybe needed, enabling legislation to allow us to maybe make that next step in enforcement? And is there something that, you know, we should be doing, or other counties are doing, that we could plagiarize, steal their ideas, or just if it's effective? I mean, is there any, have you done any research possibly on what other people do?
Yes, I have been looking at what the other counties and large cities do, but they all come with elements that are included in that we may not want to come with it, if you follow me. If we start down that road, we have to finish that road, and it might not be in line with what council wants to do. So we're being cautious there. We're looking to see if there are any other mechanisms that allow us to do that.
Yeah. And one other thing, we have looked at our code, not the state code, because there may be some things that we need to do to tighten up the enforcement provisions in our code, because I know some of the regulations we've looked at, there's a question as to the authority of the county to, although we might have a certain regulation on the book, it's unclear as to the authority, how we enforce it, how we can be reimbursed. So my staff is looking at that for the possibility of making recommendations to council.
Okay, good.
It will help Mike's job.
Anything else from council?
There's one thing that I didn't quite understand. I guess it's a dumb question. It says it hauled them up to Pennsylvania, which is glad to be out of state, but it says it went to an energy company or something. Like, how's that? What are they going to use them for energy?
They're going to burn them for energy.
It's legal to burn them in Pennsylvania.
In some states, you can use tires for energy. There's a whole science behind it, and you need to understand what that is. But we don't have any of those facilities in Delaware, but Pennsylvania, in the power plants up there that have that capacity, are more than happy to get them.
It's an incinerator, Sam. They're not out in the yard. They're not putting a torch to them.
We have incinerators here in down here.
Yeah, but they don't have the right kind of.
In your power company has incinerators, but according to Mark Allen and Natural Resources, they're saying it's not environmental friendly. So I'm thinking, how come it's environmental friendly up there and it's not, wouldn't be down here? That's what I was looking at. Just kind of.
Perhaps it's an opportunity for economic development.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
I think
the law has, but before he does, on behalf of the council, thank you very much for your first 6 months on the job. And I think we're all very pleased and impressed with what you have done and the processes you've put in place. And we're very proud to tell you the truth. But thank you very much for what you're doing, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Costello, did you introduce the gentleman that you partnered with?
I did, and I believe we will again here.
No, we're going to get to that right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, members.
Thank you
council.
Again.
I want to also take a few minutes, if you will, because there was a lot of work that went into the master tire property issue, which is that tire property north of Georgetown. Got a lot of media attention, and it was something of first impression for me as the county administrator and working with Mike as a new constable to tackle this issue, where literally folks are driving by thousands of tires every day and asking who can help. And the government is pointing the finger at one entity, and that entity is pointing it back at the government, and we were lost. And we took a lot of time and effort to finally engage the owner of the property. The ownership is actually an LLC out of Maryland, and it took quite some time to reach an agreement to access the property. At one point, we were trying to have a dual agreement with the county and Denerec, because Denerec had an interest in the outcome of this project. Because red tape got in the way, we let Denerec go to the sidelines, and we continued on and gained access to the property. And then through Mike's work, we're able to get free labor from the Department of Corrections to clear this property out. And that we couldn't have done it without that. And the property owner put $10,000 up in escrow to pay for all that they paid for was the shipment of the tires up. And we initially thought it would take under 10 loads to get it to the disposal site. And as you can see, it took 17 to 18 loads to get the tires out of there. We've since even gone over the $10,000 in escrow. And as I told you in the beginning, these negotiations are difficult. Trying to get an owner to step up to their obligation is difficult. And in this case, we're waiting for an additional $3,000 from this LLC to pay for this project, which the county administered on their own. And we got free labor to do it, the cheapest amount that this project could ever have been done for. I will tell you, the original estimate was $25,000 to be done with private sector, including the labor. And once we got into the tires, it would probably be close to $50,000 if a company were to come in and do it all with their labor. So here we are today with a great presentation, and the county still owed $3,800. We are, if we don't get the payment and we don't get a response from their local attorney, we're going to assess a lien on the property and see what we can do.
So we do the process. We'll work with this, and we will have maybe the ability to collect some funds in the future. Sometime.
Well, interestingly enough, with this property, okay. It's on a great location on the highway.
Oh, it's worth
zone commercial. We just improved the property value so that it can be sold. And I'm told there is a pending contract on the property, yet the county's waiting over 30 days to get their final payment.
Well, we need to put a lien on that property ASAP before it goes to settlement. Yes, Mr. Attorney?
Mr. Moore, we've already had that discussion. But so
you mentioned the natural resources. Well, they collect about $3-4 per tire, something like that. Well, how come they don't want to give us no money? Seems odd that they've done collected money they don't want to pay out.
As I mentioned earlier, red tape got in the way.
Yeah, well,
I'll leave it at that.
Naturally, it's going their way, too. I can see which way the tape's going.
There are a number of tire sites like this, one that we showed one picture of in the Del Mar area, which is tenfold.
Yes, sir.
Bigger than what the master tire site is. Denerec is aware of all the sites in the county. They're aware of all the sites in the state. We're aware of pending new regulation that will authorize Denerec to address some of these tire sites. Interestingly enough, tires are not viewed as solid waste within the Delaware regulations at this point.
Well, there's state legislation maybe needs to be changed, the regulations.
It's pending now.
If they're collecting this money and $3 a tire, that'd been about $51,000 somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
shell up a few pennies towards this cleanup, I think.
The bottom line is I got tired of waiting.
I understand.
And I knew that we were getting pressure from the five members of council. We were getting pressure from the community. I was getting pressure from the elected officials of Georgetown to help. We were the only ones that could help. And we ended up doing it. And hats off to Mr. Costello.
Oh, that's a good job.
And also the Department of Corrections. I just want to also say I got an unsolicited letter from a member of the community thanking us because their church is across the highway. Mm-hmm. And every Sunday they'd have to look at this mountain of tires, and they thank the county for their support. I'll stop there. But I did want to ask Mr. Vincent to present a certificate of appreciation to Lieutenant Joseph Atkins of the Sussex Community Corrections Facility in appreciation for the efforts related to the property remediation of the former master tire site located in Georgetown, Delaware, presented today, January 6, 2015. Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all your help.
Thank you.
We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Costello, and thank you, Council, for our indulgence today. I know this is an unusually long presentation, but it was worth it. We'll not come back for another 6 months.
Mr. Lawson, I hope I did not imply that you fell down a job. I believe you were proactive, and I appreciate that. I think that natural resources fell down the job, really.
Understood. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Ashman, Route 54 expansion of the Feldman Goblin Sanitary